It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Light at the end of the runway.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Maybe things are looking up for Northwest Airlines. The Union for Baggage Handlers and Ticket Agents was the first to make a deal with the bankrupt company. Today, we could find out how the membership voted on that agreement. It would save Northwest $190 million. The airline's now waiting on pilots and flight attendants to vote on cost-cutting agreements. General Motors apparently struck a deal with the United Auto Workers Union to save $1 billion. It would slash retiree health benefits. Only the retirees say no one told them about it. So they took their complaint to court yesterday, as Ashley Milne reports.
GM's retired hourly workers have been paying copays on doctor's visits and prescriptions, but they've never paid anything toward their health care's basic cost. If this deal goes through, they'll have to pay $752 a year for family coverage. Sean McAlinden of the Center for Automotive Research says this group feels double-crossed by its former union.
It's a very hazy area of the law as to whether you can arbitrarily change contract union workers' retiree benefits and whether the union has any standing in this affair at all.
Berkeley Labor Relations Professor Harley Shaken says the UAW and GM will probably win this one.
But I don't think this is the end of the story. We're likely to see fierce pressures in this and other industries. We're likely to see more concessions.
And that means more court cases. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You've probably heard of high fructose corn syrup. It's cheaper than sugar, and it's used in a lot of food and soft drinks. 4 years ago, Mexico imposed a 20% tax on corn syrup produced in the U.S. Yesterday, the World Trade Organization said, it's illegal. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
Mexico's tax has kept corn syrup prices artificially high. That's shut U.S. farmers out of a $1 billion market. No longer. Audrey Erickson is president of the Corn Refiners Association. She says corn farmers in Indiana, Nebraska, and Ohio are cheering the WTO decision.
They could see more money in their pockets, as much as 10 cents per bushel in key corn states. 10 cents per bushel could mean hundreds of thousands of dollars for those growers with large acres.
Mexico can't appeal the ruling. If Mexico doesn't get rid of its corn syrup tax, WTO rules allow the U.S. to retaliate. The U.S. could stop up to $1 billion in Mexican sugar from entering the U.S. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
In Washington State, some crying over onions. A group of high school students lobbied to make the Walla Walla sweet onion the official vegetable. State lawmakers were about to go along with it. But then Washington's potato industry got really upset, and the onion bill got the chopping block. At least the kids got a valuable lesson in the power of the big potato lobby. Wall Street was groaning for the third straight day. The Dow fell 63 points to 10,958. The Nasdaq dropped 16 to 2286. The S&P 500 lost 9 points to wind up at 1278. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note jumped to a 21-month high, which is a signal of higher interest rates ahead. You're listening to Marketplace. I don't know what your debt ceiling is, but the federal government's is $8.1 trillion, and it's quickly approaching that. Today, it issues a six-day bond to keep from bumping its head. Janet Babin reports.
If the government hits the debt ceiling, the Treasury can't borrow money, and the U.S. could default on its obligations. But Robert Bixby with the nonpartisan Concord Coalition says that probably won't happen. Instead, he expects the Republican-controlled Congress will find a way to raise the debt cap without an embarrassing roll call vote.
Politicians don't like to vote to raise the debt limit. I mean, they like to spend and they like to cut taxes, but that results in increased debt, which they don't like to acknowledge.
One way to get around it is with an anonymous voice vote. Bixby says it'll likely come just before Congress's recess late next week, so there'll be no time for debate. To conserve funds until then, the Treasury has suspended civil service retirement payments. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace,
which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Economist Milton Friedman once said that public companies have no business donating money to charity. He said any money not needed for a corporate purpose belongs to shareholders, and they should decide whether to give it away. But a lot of firms are diving headfirst into philanthropy. And commentator Matthew Bishop says there is a corporate purpose to it.
Google's motto is, "Don't be evil." But evil is exactly what critics of the famous search engine company think it is being in China by going along with the Chinese government's censorship laws. So the recent news that Google appointed someone to lead its philanthropic arm, Google.org, could be just the thing to polish its battered image. Mighty Walmart has a mighty image problem too. It's the latest embodiment of all that some people think is wrong with big business. So guess what? Walmart has just announced its first nationwide philanthropic effort, a $10 million partnership with America's Second Harvest, the nation's food bank network, that will provide food to hungry Americans. Listen to the sound of that corporate image being buffed. It is easy to be cynical when businesses turn into philanthropists. Corporate charitable foundations have often been used in practice as pots of money that a chief executive can distribute to his favorite charity to boost his status in the community. That's one thing he should surely be doing by dipping into his own probably excessive pay packet instead. Even more dubiously, chief executives have been known to direct their corporate giving to the pet causes of their business associates or other people CEOs want to keep happy, such as members of the board. No wonder shareholders are increasingly asking tough questions about corporate philanthropy, with the inevitable result that firms now have to justify their giving in terms of the value it creates for shareholders. The buzzword du jour is strategic philanthropy, and repairing a battered corporate image is one of the main strategies. But I'm sounding too cynical. Much good can come out of this corporate giving, even if it is driven by shareholder value. And many of us would rather work for a firm with a heart, even if it is a strategic heart. Google has a reputation for amazing innovation. When they launched Google.org, the billionaire founders said they hoped that someday the philanthropic arm will eclipse Google itself in overall world impact. The founders promised to give 1% of Google's profits each year and 1% of its stock to Google.org. What Google has done for searching the internet, they want Google.org to do for reducing poverty and tackling the problems of climate change. The man appointed to run Google.org is Larry Brilliant. If he can find a way to both make the world a better place and make Google's shareholders better off, that really would be, well, brilliant.
Matthew Bishop is American business editor for The Economist. Comes to us by special arrangement with that magazine. Your comments, letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
It's a business partnership.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.